You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? It's a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. We're here to hit our mark. I'm going to do it right now. I'm Drew Shade.
I'm Timothy Dwight.
I'm Kayla Davion.
All right, we are here. It's a brand new week. It's a brand new episode. We got one newbie. That seems to be like the theme for the past couple weeks. One newbie and one former, I guess. I didn't want to say OB.
Yeah, OB.
Because you're not old, but you know. Right. We haven't heard from you in a while, though. So it's like, it's been a little minute. We want to know what's been going on. What's your journey? What's been happening? We got Timothy Dwight in the building.
Hey, y'all.
Playwright, actor extraordinaire.
I'm out here. So the week thing, right?
Yeah.
So my week has been, actually this week has been more relaxed.
Well, just refresh people of who you are.
Oh, let me start there. All right. Hey, y'all. My name is Timothy Dwight. I'm a playwright, actor, multi-hyphenate artist, basically. My playwright debut was this one-man show called Neptune that I wrote and performed, and I'm trying to write and perform and do more places. So I'll start with my week. So this last week was more relaxed because it came off the heels of a really intense July. So I was a part of this program called Bars in the Public Theater.
Yeah,
it was Bars and Public Theater, and it's like ran by David Diggs and Rafael Casal, wow, who came, if you don't know them, they made the show Blindspotting, and David was also in Hamilton, and Rafael is like a well-known poet and educator. So they made this kind of intensive for multi-hyphenate artists. It was looking particularly for folks that do a million things,
mm-hmm,
and basically the program was to kind of show the ways, or like teach the ways lyricism and hip hop can like infuse your artistic practice. Mm-hmm. So basically all these different artists are learning how to like write stories in verse and like communicate in verse.
Wow.
So like we were straight up learning how to freestyle. Some better than others, as in I'm not the best. but I got bars though, which showed I was able. I can write my shit. I'm a writer. So basically, this year. So like in many years, it started off the first year 5 years ago. The culminating, I guess, project was a video, mm-hmm, that went viral, and then the second year, they got picked up by the public. And they did another video that did pretty well. And then they just kept doing that. But this year is the first year that Bars is officially a program of the public. Mm. So it's like the public presents Bars instead of like Bars in partnership with the public. So yeah, this year was like kind of special. And it's the first time they did it for only a month. So before it used to be 2 months. So this year it was like 4 days out the week we was going to this.
Oh, wow.
It was a lot. It was from Tuesdays to Fridays for the first 2 weeks, and then it was about Friday to Sunday for the last two.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like from 6 to 10, and then we'll have homework that we have to finish that night and bring back the next day.
Oh, wow. This is like school.
It was like...
This was theater school.
It was like boot camp. So stressful, Jesus. But it was just so great because I met, like, it was 12 other artists in the cohort. Well, 11 other artists in the cohort, 12 altogether. Mm-hmm. And they were just amazing. A lot of them, some of them applied from, like, Oakland and got in and just came for the month and never been to New York before. And it was just super, it was just so amazing. But it was intense. So it ended 2 weeks ago. So last week was my first time to relax, which felt good. My past week has just been kind of floating off the heels of that. Which is exciting is that for our culminating event, we had 3 shows at Joe's Pub at the Public that sold out.
Dope.
And so sold out. Awesome.
Yeah.
nipples keep going. I got these overalls on, y'all.
We not mad.
You having nipple slips in here?
Look, he got all overalls with no shirt on. Come on, nipple slips.
Here we go. Back together. So, yeah, so they all sold out, which is amazing. And for one of the nights, I didn't know this, but I won't say the agency, but a particular agency was in the audience and reached out to me after, which was so exciting. They're like, we love you and we want to work with you. So hopefully I'm still like talking to them and hopefully I'll be able to like share. But
yeah,
that was just super exciting. It was like affirming, like, okay, yeah. I'm out here. I'm doing
people
something.
See you. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's been my last week and like mostly just me relaxing, a lot of smoking. That I missed in July.
Right. You had to be focused.
Yeah, I was like, I can't smoke and memorize all these lines.
You can't. There's just no way.
It just wasn't working. So I definitely made up for it this week. And yeah, that's been my week.
Well, that's what's up. Well, welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Kayla!
What it?
My Ball State friend.
Yeah.
I be forgetting that you went to Ball State.
I know.
It's okay. So, Kayla, tell the people who you are. You're an actress. You're an amazing talent. You're a vocalist. You are like booked and busy and blessed.
Yeah. What's up, y'all? I'm Kayla Devion. Chi-Town in the building, as always. I have been in the city for 2 years now. Ended up coming to the city based off of booking Waitress the Musical on Broadway. So that was super dope. I got to be in the ensemble and understudy Dawn, which if any of you all know the character Dawn, she's super nerdy. So to see a black nerd, I also was the first black woman to play Dawn. So yes. That was dope. That was super cool. Got to make history that people don't care about, but that's okay because I care.
People do care. They really do care.
I'm like, I care, y'all.
They really, really do care.
Okay, and that's, you don't find black nerds too often on the stage.
Right.
Right.
And that soprano track, that's a difficult track.
That soprano track is not a game, okay?
Yeah.
I learned so much from being a waitress. I asked Sarah Bareilles.
What a way to be introduced.
I mean, it was something. And when I got there, Sarah Bareilles was playing Jenna. So I got to start with her.
That's crazy.
Which was super cool.
So talk to us a little bit about that journey. Like, how did that even come about for you?
Because
we come from Indiana. Illinois, you know.
Yeah.
Small town Midwest. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we got into theater Chicago, last minute. We got into theater senior year of high school. So honestly, we were
well, when I met you, you were at, were you a senior or junior?
I was a junior.
You were a junior. Okay. So I met you. You were one of the
Dynamites.
Dynamites in Hairspray.
That was super fun. That was fun. I mean, I had this little shortcut. This shortcut wig. I said,
but
oh,
you
yes.
Were, you were pumping it out. I will never forget. You were pumping it out. I said, this girl's got it. And lo and behold, a year later, she was leaving school and coming. So how did that audition come? How did that happen for you?
I was doing a senior showcase. I know most of you guys know what showcase is. It's basically when you just come and you do whatever talent you need to do in front of a group of agents. And if they want to sign you, then you go to these meetings with a bunch of different agencies and you see who is looking for you. So I did that showcase and I met with a bunch of different agencies, but I ended up signing with Nicolosi and Company. Those are my people. I love them so much. They are one of the best agencies in my heart, honestly. But I came back out here for like a week to do a bunch of different callbacks. They sent me on like, I did a lot of self-tapes when I went back to school. And then when I came back, I was doing like the Color Purple callback. I was doing a lot of different things. Lion King, basically every black show. Every black show you could think of, I was in the room trying to book a job. And Waitress actually ended up being a last minute audition. And I honestly did not know what Waitress was when they asked me, did I want to do it? And they were like, go see this show. And so I had to pay, which... Also, by the way, if your agents ever tell you to go see the show and that they're going to get you a ticket, that means that you still have to pay for that ticket. Okay, I thought that thing was free. I walked up in there and said $30. I said, 30 who? Because you know what I'm saying? I'm a college student still with no money. So I was like, 30 what? I got to pay to come see it. Oh, you didn't tell me that. Okay, got it. You know, still,
had them coins
still
ready.
Still trying to figure stuff out. So I was like, okay. Okay, where's my wallet? Mama,
Guess I'm not gonna eat today.
Okay, and so I saw Waitress The last night that I was here, I auditioned, I think the morning of when I was leaving, and then I left. And then I was going back to school to do my finals week of college. And they called me and they were like, actually, they want you to come back. And I was like, okay, let me figure this out in terms of money and things like that. And Ball State was actually really awesome. They helped me get out there. So that was super dope. And I did it on a Tuesday. I flew in the morning. I did the audition. I literally looked at all these people who were in the room and I was like, there's no way I'm getting this. Because they also were like, if you get this, they want to know if you can start the next day. And I said, no. I told them no because I was like, I am the first person in my family to graduate college. Right. So it meant a lot to me to have my diploma and to like make sure that I walked across that stage. So I was like, sorry, I can't do it. My agents were like, you have lost your damn mind. I said, I'm so sorry. I can't do it. I just can't.
You would have
That's
to
not
miss
for me.
Graduation.
Yeah. I would have had to miss graduation. And I was just like, it just means too much. I was like, it's too much for me and my moral values. They are what they are. So I was like, I need to walk across that stage for me, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, there's no way I'm about to book this. So I did the audition. I flew back immediately. And then the next day I was taking a final and I kept getting a call from my agents. And I was like, if y'all don't stop calling me, I'm trying to take my finals. You know what I'm saying? And then I called them back and I was like, what's up? You rang, like, what's good? Y'all called me, you know.
Not you got mad at
straight
them.
Chicago. I was so mad. I was like, what's up?
Oh my God. Y'all blowing my
eyes
up.
I said, honey, I am trying to take a final. I told you I'm trying to graduate.
My focus, like, what is happening?
Jeez. You know what I'm saying?
You rang. That
you rang? and then they said, you booked waitress. And then I said, excuse me, what? And then they said, yeah, you booked waitress and they're willing to wait for you to graduate and walk across the stage. And I said, you better come on, you want to come out of the building, Jesus. And then I weeped. And then I literally came out here the next week.
But you know what's funny is that your morals probably helped you book it.
Right? Right?
So they're like, can she start tomorrow? She's like, no, she can't. They're like, why can't she start tomorrow?
Very
like,
busy. Booked and busy.
Right. She said, well, she's graduating college. Like, oh, she got her head in the right place.
Right, you
book
know?
That. We'll wait. Book her.
Right.
Okay.
You know?
So, yeah, so I did that. And I did wait. Waitress was honestly a very hard journey for me because it was my first show coming out of college. Mm-hmm. So I'm still learning stuff, still trying to figure stuff out. I'm pretty much a newbie in college, basically, because I got into musical theater super late. I wasn't the kid who like did theater all their lives. So I was still like learning. Mm-hmm. And when I got to Waitress, you know, Sarah Bareilles, the music that she writes is very flippy and I didn't do flips. Like, I was like, I am a belter who has learned how to mix and how to be in my head voice, but never have I ever sat here and flipped up a little octave real quick and called it a day real light. And I said, I don't do that. That's not, I come from church where I'm like, rah! You know what I'm saying? So I was like, so it was a lot. Honestly, it was really tough at first. I ended up getting calluses on my vocal cords, trying to learn how. And it's so crazy because a lot of people are always like, oh my God, it was just so, it must have been so great. It must have been so easy. And I was like, no, like nobody really knows. Like I was actually really struggling in the beginning when I was learning everything with Waitress. Yeah, I had those calluses. So I had to go to speech therapy and basically relearn how to talk and things like that. And it ended up being a big blessing for me because I now have a high register that I did not have in the beginning of time. So so honestly blessed. And then I ended up leaving Waitress to go to King Kong, which was super dope because I got to understudy Miss Christiane Pitts, who is my sister for life. So understudying the lead, we moved on up. You know, we moved on up from the secondary character to the first dare character. So that was beautiful. I learned so much being there. And that was my first time ever having to really dance. That show is so physically involved. It's crazy. Like anytime you turn around, you see somebody like rolling out or stretching because I mean, you honestly are basically putting your body on the line every time you start the show. Mm-hmm. Like, it is not a joke, and your girl is 10 times stronger now from doing that dang show. Hello? And I finally learned that, like, I could be a leading actress on a stage. So
no,
that
you
was
knew.
Cool.
You knew.
I mean, you know how you know, but you always kind of, like, you got to put yourself out there and actually do it to be like, all right, okay, I went tweaking. I got it, you know. Especially because I'm so young, too, so it's like, you know. just basically getting out there and doing the damn thing is like, oh, okay, I actually do have everything that I'm capable of having to make sure, like, mm-hmm. I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And now your girl just finished taking a month vacation. I was not playing. I left King Kong so early. I said, bye, y'all. I love y'all so much. I love y'all so much. Thank you for everything. Cry, because I love them so much. But I was like, I got to take a vacation because your girl was about to start. Oh, honey, I took a little trip around the world to just see all my friends and they shows. So I went to Boston.
We were literally just talking about how going to see you and support your friends is a full-time job.
It's a full-time job.
It's work.
Like trying to get there and like the tickets and the money. And
it's
like,
a full-time job. I was planning this months in advance. I literally was planning this so long in advance to like go do this. Because I was like, I really want to come see y'all and mm-hmm. support y'all because I know that like I would want you to do the same for mm-hmm. me. So I went to Boston to see Dear Evan Hansen on tour. That was cool. Then I went to San Francisco and I saw the Hamilton cast. They were dope. And then I actually went on a week cruise. My friend is on the cruise ship doing Hairspray and doing these other shows. Yeah, he's on that Royal Caribbean cruise. So, you know, that's like the newest cruise ship they got up mm-hmm. there. So I went on for a whole week, y'all. I went to St. Martin, Puerto Rico, Haiti.
Wow.
Y'all, I got sick the last 2 days. I got a stomach infection the last 2 days. It was rough. It was so rough, honey. No. It was so rough. Yo, I literally have this picture of me in the hospital bed of the cruise ship, just like sitting with an IV bag. I was like, this is not it. This is not it. But it was actually so much fun. And then I got to go home and be with my family and my two little nephews. So that was dope. Now I'm back for my last 2 weeks because your girl is about to move on to Tina Turner on Broadway.
Hey.
We're moving. Your girl's about to be an ICAD and I'm about to be understudying Tina Turner.
So we are
good old ICAD, which I'm honestly so excited. Y'all don't understand. I'm so excited to be an ICAD. I was like, I just want to sing some harmonies and like dance in the back. Like I'm good with that right now.
Yeah.
And then I'm understudying Tina Turner, so it's not like I'm never gonna get to go on. I'm gonna be able to get to go on, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get to learn from Adrian, which I'm so excited about. And my girl Nkeki, who's doing it, I get to learn from her, so that's super dope.
Yeah.
But your girl gonna be doing some oohs and ahs right there and living her best life.
That
and
be
maybe
fun.
I'll end up on the
that's
TV.
So good.
Right. Maybe you'll see me on the TV screen. That'll be nice.
So I love it. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, yeah.
Congratulations on booking that show.
Yes. Thank you so much.
She's moving from one Broadway show to the next.
Right.
Just, you know,
like
checks
really
after checks,
which
is why she can go on vacation for a month
the
Europeans. You know.
You said that really calm. Like,
God.
That's a whole month.
For a whole month.
Right, like, where are the coins?
Right.
I would be just like, where am I living?
That's so good.
But that's what's up. Well, welcome. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks.
I'm so happy to see you.
Thanks.
Like, it's so exciting to see you flourish and, like, because you'd be out here singing.
I'm trying.
Like,
you know what I'm saying?
No,
like,
I'm trying.
Really,
you be
like,
doing.
It sounds like you be doing.
Like,
you
know, she be doing. Like, what's the song from King Kong that the lead
Last
be singing?
Last of Rakan.
Yeah, give me a little bit of that.
Oh,
I know you got. I know you got. Yeah, you just drank your water.
You just drank your water.
You good and like moisturized and you know, you liquefied. You know, you got a little bit in there.
What part you want to hear? Like the
some
beginning?
Good.
The
no,
good
some,
part.
The some good.
Good.
Yeah. Like,
oh my God.
I never heard it before.
Dang, I wish I would have had the piano on me so I could have gave you a good key.
You
like,
can
I'm
just
like,
choose.
What's
you
the
can
key?
Just, and this is the thing. You can choose your key.
All right.
You don't know.
You can choose your key. Let me see. I'm over here messing up with your stuff.
You're
right. Let me think. Okay.
I just put her on the spot, so she's trying to pull it together.
Take your time.
She got it. She's got it.
The audience will wait.
Y'all gotta make me go through these words now. I've been gone for a month. Jesus. Let me think about it a little.
That is killer.
She's like, these words.
Because
you know how singers be.
Right. Oh, there we are. That's it. That's it right there.
Oh, my goodness. Let me think.
La, 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 la.
He taught me how.
Look, I'm about to mess up her whole thought.
I hate it.
Oh, my God. If you sing that, that will also win.
Right.
Y'all, I got to find this key. I'm not about to play with y'all. Y'all
she's
not about
like,
to
she's
mess
like,
me up
I can't.
Key.
All right.
I need to hear the key. I need
she's
to
like,
hear the key.
She's like, y'all not about
I'm
to have
so
me
sorry.
Out here.
Everybody on off book going to hear this.
I said, yeah, okay.
said this to Tina Turner.
It's gonna be in wax.
I said, uh-uh.
It's gonna be forever. She's like, uh-uh, y'all ain't about to have me out here.
Y'all gotta do me.
Sounding crazy for all here for the world.
I know that's
you better find that. Yes.
She got her phone out, y'all.
She got it ready. It is.
Okay, y'all heard that?
Look.
This is the accompaniment, y'all. Yeah. This is real serious.
Come on. I can hold that. I can hold that while you sing.
I'm right here.
Okay.
And I'm gonna put
it
in the mic.
Let me figure out where we at. Yeah.
Oh, this is a whole production.
This is gonna test my skills on if I can hear.
Can you hear it?
Uh-huh.
I'll be quiet.
Uh-huh, it's coming, y'all. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Let me just think about where we at. Thank you. From birth, we've both been playing a game we cannot win. We'll never break the locks or ever leave the box the world has put us in. A prisoner of history. Another wasted mind. But ain't we our love? Both you and I. We can survive this, you know. But first you gotta put on a show. Give a performance for the ages that every kept in cages. Put on a show. Stand up and roar, and you'll get through this. Put on a show. They will destroy you if you don't do this. If I could break these chains, if I could stop the show, nothing here would change. Reality remains. There's nowhere left to go.
Because, ma'am, you just slayed our everlasting being. That was beautiful. I was not expecting that.
I wish I could see her. Yo, if y'all saw her.
Listen, she dropped in.
Nigga, she dropped.
I was like. She dropped.
Are we there?
All the way in. Like.
Yo. I wanted to step away. I was like, goddamn.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, oh.
Ooh.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Now, that is Broadway Black.
That's what I'm talking about
because, man, everybody ain't got that. Everybody don't got that. That just makes me, Chris, you not excited? Like, ooh, everybody don't got that. Like, that just...
Thanks.
Woo!
I'm exhausted.
Thanks. I love that song. I think it's easy to get dropped into that song. It's a beautiful song.
It's yours. I think that's your song.
Every time I talk about this song, I'm always like, I really feel like this song was like written for me.
No, I think it's so good.
Every time I sing this song, I'm always like,
it's so good. You and Christiane sing that so good.
It's such a beautiful song.
Yeah.
It is.
I wish the whole show was like that.
I mean, I wasn't ready for that.
You said that shit so sincere.
I wasn't ready for that.
I'm serious.
That really fucked me up.
It came out so sincere,
like you almost didn't catch it.
Oh my
I'm
god!
Serious.
I was not ready.
No, but really,
I wish the whole show was like that.
It's interesting. It's very interesting. I think.
Oh my God.
You don't have to speak on it.
You know.
Don't go into that mess. Right. You've already
done the show. You were beautiful in it. The entire cast was beautiful in it.
Wow.
The cast worked their ass off. They are superheroes. It's like a whole cast full
when
of
When I tell you, they are moving and shaking over there, King Kong. So check out King Kong before they close. Will they close? August 19th?
18th.
Next week.
Yeah, next week.
They close one more week to see it.
Yeah.
Woo, child.
Check it out, honey.
Go in.
Go in.
You gonna go one last time?
Yeah, they got me a ticket. They know. I said, y'all better give me this ticket for this closing show. I'm not paying nothing. I need a ticket.
$30?
I'm not paying no $30.
Uh-huh. not this time.
I will stand in the back. Okay, I'm not gonna play with y'all. If I don't have a seat, Caleb will be backstage, okay? And I might run on stage. Lord. Don't play with me.
Right.
That's what's up. Well, yeah, it'll be good to see, you know, close out that show.
Yeah.
Closing out Waitress, too. Waitress about to close, too. You excited about that?
No.
I mean, not really excited, but how are you feeling about the closing of that show?
Shocked. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's been running for a minute, right?
I was just really shocked. I just knew that they was just going to keep bringing people in and it was going to keep thriving. But
yeah, I wish they would have, too. Like, I wanted to see a couple of more voices.
Yeah, I had a couple of different dynamics.
Yeah, a couple of different dynamics in that show. Yeah, I mean, because the music is so
for sure
beautiful.
Like, it's incredible.
You know, get a proper voice in there. Like, can we get Fantasia as Jenna?
Honey, let me tell you something. Like, when I was doing Waitress, there were rumors that Fantasia was coming to play Jenna.
Any show that has like any type of musicality
I said I don't care what y'all think, because I'm obsessed with her.
I bet you Fantasia gets offers for every.
I mean, I bet you she does because she has feelings. She knows she has straight soul. So many people don't have that soul.
But imagine Fantasia as Jenna,
honey. She would have been, the shoes would have been off. She said, I'm not wearing those shoes.
This row has
and I would have been front row. I'd have been front row, ready for her.
Okay, Chris, I'm going to need you to keep your mic, because I'll be asking you questions, and then people can't hear you if I ask you something. So I just need you to keep your mic on deck.
I apologize.
Okay. And also, I need you, you know what I'm saying? You're the only one to be laughing at me sometimes, so I'll be needing.
We've been laughing.
I know, yeah. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to get him, you know. But yeah, like, that would be also phenomenal.
It really would be.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think who else would I
want
to
I
want to
know who's going to be the last Jenna. Because, like, I want to know who's going to do it, who's going to close it out.
I mean, Jesse has to come back and close it.
That's what I said. That's what I was like, I wonder if she's going to come back and close it.
It's Jesse's role. I want to see her come back and close that. I really feel like she should have come back and closed Beautiful.
Yeah.
She should come back and close that. Did that already close yet? Or is it just set
no,
to
no,
close?
No, no, no.
I don't think so.
Okay, it's 2020 or something. Yeah. So I really feel like she just should just come back and close her shows.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Girl, these is yours.
Yeah.
And like, literally, when you think about it, nobody can really sing Jenna like
Jesse is.
Like Jesse Mueller. She's
vocally, she's a beast. Like, a lot of people cannot touch her.
Otherworldly. Like, it's like her and like Cynthia Erivo.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, people that just like transcend
some
the space.
Shit.
Yeah.
Like, they go through our skin and like into our bodies with their voice or their abilities, which is insane. But like, Jesse has that ability. I'm trying to think of who else. Like, I would love to see Cynthia as Jenna. Like, why is Cynthia?
Yeah. I feel like Cynthia would be a great Jenna.
Cynthia could have nailed that. Like, that would have been
huge, big.
Like, but you know, she playing Harriet right now. Have you heard about this?
Oh my God. Yes.
I've heard.
Controversy?
I've heard.
What controversy?
What you mean you haven't heard about the controversy of her?
Niggas are angry.
Yeah.
Wait, why?
Well, American.
Well, we talked about this too. Allegedly, there's history of her having anti-black sentiment and comments being made online.
No.
I didn't even peep that. I thought they were just mad because she was
No, American. That's really not what it is. People are not upset that she's not black American. It's just that she has said disparaging things about black people.
Oh, shit.
And in certain tweets. And one of them, and we talked about this too on an episode that's called Cynthia's Sorry or Not Sorry. But just going into the... just going into these tweets that were released. And
is
also,
it just like black people or like black Americans in particular?
Black Americans in particular.
Okay.
Jesus.
Basically like tweeting and saying she was using a ghetto American accent.
Ooh.
You know, just like something she probably had like a joke with an inner friend that sort of turned sideways.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the situation with, I don't know if you guys know who the personality Lovey is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's, yeah, she's had some disparaging things to say about African Americans for a long time, and people called her out on those things, and she's very close with Cynthia, so people were saying that she's in support of Cynthia.
Yeah, I saw the whole drag of Lovey.
Yeah, so that whole drag, but her and Cynthia are very close. Oh. And throughout that time when they were dragging Lovey, Cynthia was supporting Lovey.
Oh, gotcha. That would make sense for them to attack her then.
Yeah, so like they, I mean, it was a sort of a controversy with that. But I guess it's not as big as a controversy as some may think, even though like on Twitter it has trended, you know, it has come out in that way. But I don't think it's as a controversy as some may think just because of some viral tweets.
Right.
Because whenever we talk about it or I've mentioned it, some people are like, wait, what happened? What's going on?
Yeah, right. I don't know.
Think it's as big. But I thought it was just like before, like the whole conversation about should non like black Americans play black roles or whatever.
Right.
Which has been like a thing going on for America now.
But I don't think there was.
But this, if that wasn't it, it was like more.
But it could have been, you know, could also, I could see also how that could have been the issue to begin with.
Because and then she's Harriet Tubman, that's what I was thinking.
Right. So I think that that could have been an issue, but then when added on to that, you people sort of ran with that. Well, it's not really, we don't care that she's, you know what I'm saying? You know how people be switched up there.
Right. But she had these tweets, though.
Right.
So
they switch it up once, you know, something becomes convenient for them to be able to tag on to. So, you know, hasn't spoken on it yet. She's saying that, you know, people who want to hear her heart will hear her heart, and she will, you know, once people are ready to listen, she will speak or what have you.
Ain't that how they get you? I said, when I'm ready to speak, honestly, go ahead, Cynthia. Like, I mean, if she honestly was not coming for black Americans, then
she and
I'm in full support.
I don't know about that. She's talking crazy then. So it's like, you have to take that. But
right, you got to take that L.
You got to take that L. So yeah, like, why you talking wild about me, sis?
Right.
But if that wasn't the case, then play the Harriet, sis. Right.
Not why you was talking wild about
like,
me, sis.
People are just like, you know, you have disparaging things to say about African Americans, but you want to play one of our leaders when it's convenient.
Exactly.
That's real. Yeah.
And you can't do that.
And she's saying, well, you know, I know the history behind it, and I know the importance of it, and I would never. And, you know, she's always been in support of, you know, black people, but I shouldn't say it, but she's always been in support of black people, period.
Right. Yeah.
There is also a African-American war, you know, sort of thing about who's better and who's not, and who's more African and who's more American, who can claim culture and who can claim, you know what I'm saying, all this bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, right.
We all black
at
the end of the day. But I mean, I understand the necessity to.
I hope she wasn't talking wild. I like Cynthia.
I did too.
But niggas be surprised me sometimes.
And then also, you know, you just never, you can never really judge people's hearts and intentions by
like their
social media
all the time.
You know what I mean? Like, because it's just difficult for me to. And knowing Cynthia and knowing how she's operated her social media and then also for there not to be as many instances or like receipts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it almost feels like we grabbing for straws to try to find receipts. Like,
if
these are tweets from like 2008, miss me. I don't give a fuck. You know, like shit like that happens, you know?
But I mean, because you also like,
we talking 2013.
Ooh, that's a little close. That wasn't that long ago.
Everybody dropped it. Everybody dropped it. Okay. Well, damn. I need to know what she said. I need to know.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Well, we're not gonna dive back into it again, but you know, look it up and see, you know, how you feel about it for yourself, and you know, that's what I said too. Like, everyone's gonna have to determine for themselves whether they're gonna go to support the movie or if they want to support her or where they draw the line at for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But,
yeah.
It's not like a stand up and, you know, protest type of situation in my eyes. But some people really do want to hear from Cynthia and want to know what. You know what she's talking about, like what's really good, sis. Like they did a Nicki Minaj.
That's legit.
What's like, good, Miley? To Cynthia.
Oh my god!
Like seriously, like that's how they call them on Cynthia. Right. Like, what's good, Cynthia?
I mean, so sad. You got to answer though. You got to answer. Like, niggas want to know.
Yeah, I don't know how we got into that.
I don't know.
We talking about her being Jenna.
Okay. Got you.
And then we spiraled.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to see, what did I do this week?
Oh, you even tell us about your week.
Yeah,
so much has happened. What did I do? What happened?
I said so much has happened. Like, she performed.
Like, what? Yeah, she performed. Like, that's what took us out.
Yeah.
That took us out. What did I do this week? Did I... I had... Oh, okay. Yeah, I had an audition. I had a couple auditions this week.
How'd they go?
They went okay. You know how you got to like set it and forget it.
Yes.
I've been having to learn that this week,
I
too.
And I literally said on the phone after one of them. Okay, so I said on the phone after one of them, like just literally just like trying to, you know how you go back and think about all the choices that you made and like, oh man, right. I did this. And did I make a connection with the reader or did they tell the reader to be dry and not that's give me so anything? Stressful. Like, you know, I'd be like, that's what I'd be wondering too. Like, did they tell the reader to be dry and not give me anything or did we make a connection at all? Or was he like purposely like trying to sabotage me?
Right. That's real. That's real.
Fuck that reader, my nigga.
And for all my people who don't hear me cuss, I'm sorry, but for real, fuck those readers. Cause like sometimes they be playing games sometimes.
Nah, they like for real. Like, you trying to throw me off. Do you want this role for yourself?
Right.
Like, are you trying to prove something in here? Like, like my guy. Like, are you trying to make me look stupid, man?
I feel that shit in my heart.
Cause they be dry. Some of them be real dry. And I be like, you ain't right for not giving me nothing. You ain't right.
Like, how dare you? Like, even the little kid that I read this with, that, you know what I'm saying,
had
I practiced my sides with. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know how you be trying to read with, like, the most blended a person
right.
that, oh that don't give you nothing? Like, you know how you try to read with your mama.
Right.
Like, mama, read these sides with me so I can, like,
just
be prepared for
it.
Anything.
Right.
Because yeah. you know they're going to say, and I was on, over there. Yes.
Right.
I do love you. Like, I don't
so
want
to anything.
Like, just read these so I can be ready for just, like, whatever. And then you get in there and they be like, they be playing games in your face.
Right.
Like, how are you playing games in my face right now? Like,
it ain't even necessary.
In front of the director.
Right.
Like, sir, you got me out here exposed. And
yeah, exposed.
All that's not necessary, readers. It's really not.
It's really not.
Like, you could just be regular ass nigga. Like, you don't have to do all that.
Oh, my God. Okay. Wow. And then also, too, like, okay, so Pose this week. Mm-hmm. And this relates because Billy Porter's on Pose, and that's what I'm always say when I bring up Pose, because I like talking about this show, but I also
had to find, like, loop it back.
Right. Got to figure out a way. Pose has really had me fucked up this week.
Ooh.
Like, did y'all watch the show?
I didn't watch it.
Oh, no. God, then I can't talk about it with y'all.
You can tell me, because, yeah, you just tell me.
No, because, like, y'all gotta watch the show. Like, y'all gotta watch it. Like, it just was some triggering things about, you know, relationship and power dynamics when it comes to, like, dating older men and, like, that sort of thing. So it was just, like, really some crazy shit, which just, like, led me to talk about some other crazy shit about my life, and then, like, it turned into more than what I, you know, you can't really like start digging around in the roots and like thinking you're just gonna bring up one root.
Right, you can't just play with it.
Like,
the shit to come out.
And like, all the shit that you wouldn't even expect. Oh, some shit from over here came out. Right. Oh my God, like, no.
You
like,
try to put that shit away real quick.
Oh, like,
that's not what I was looking for.
No.
Like, and so, yeah, that was my life this week, like, where some of the roots came up. And I wasn't expecting it. And in the midst of, like, trying to do auditions and being emotionally vulnerable. And it's like, God damn, like, this is not what I signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, also, like, it's difficult going into spaces and knowing that... and knowing that you're opening yourself up to be vulnerable and trying to, you're trying to book. Like, y'all know I'm here. Y'all know I want a job. Y'all know I'm here.
Know why I'm doing this.
Y'all know why I'm here. Y'all know, like, what this is about. And then you still, like, got to sit with that. And these motherfuckers will make you wait for, like, a day and a half. I don't know. Just the whole process of auditioning is just, like...
It's a lot. Like, I've been, the same way. I've been thinking about that a lot because I had a few auditions this last week. And I've just been, like... Damn, like, is this what I want to keep doing?
Yeah.
Like, this, like, hurts. And, like, I'm used to, like, I'm newly auditioning because before I, like, write the own work. So I cast myself. So I write my shit and I'm in it. So I ain't to worry about nobody. Like, but now I'm trying to, like, work on other people's work and, like, add. It just, it's very vulnerable, like you said. It's, like, super vulnerable. You have to, like, really be okay with yourself.
Yeah,
especially because so many of these casting directors, honestly, when you're in the room with them, they just look at you like you ain't shit. You'd be like, I'm supposed to be open in this room,
right?
And I need you to be like open with me.
Right. you know what I'm saying? What good advice I got lately though? I was talking to David from the program, David Diggs, and also my friend Jalen Livingston, and was talking. It was like, oh, I had these auditions, whatever, and I'm feeling nervous. And they both told me, like, the people in the room want you to kill it.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what
they want you to kill it. So,
well,
like,
why don't they be looking like it?
But they don't be looking like it. That's the thing. But in but it makes like, sense. If you think about it, it's like, of course they want you to kill it because they want their show to be good.
Right.
So, like, they are actually rooting for you. But I think something around, sitting around show biz or whatever, have taught them to not show that. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know why rooting for the person that's, like, auditioning for
or
you.
Or just
will
a
be
simple
strange.
Smile.
Yeah, like, because you want them to do good.
Yeah, like, just give me a little
yeah,
smile.
I don't know what I need from them. Like, I don't know what I need from them, because it feels like even if they give me a smile, then I feel like they, like, pity me.
Yeah. Like, fuck that smile at me, nigga.
Right, like, don't be fucking smiling at me.
Right. And also, don't
and
smile
not
at me.
Booking
not
me.
Booking
me. Right.
No, that's like, don't smile
at me.
No, you know what?
I'll put that on a t-shirt.
Don't
smile at me and not book me.
Bitch. You should add bitch at
the end.
Right,
you gotta say bitch.
I'll buy it if you put bitch.
Oh my goodness. That is called ungratefulness. Y'all don't want nothing. Y'all don't want nobody to frown at you. You don't want to smile.
Probably me. Like, it really could be, but like, shit.
I had a teacher that did say that whatever you come into the room believing yourself to be is what they see as soon as you walk into the room. So I just walk into the room like a clown, and I call it a day.
Right.
I crack a couple jokes.
Right. That's
I say, I'm
going to
go ahead and do this.
But see, my jokes be funnier than my audition.
Oh, don't do that.
Like, you know, like, my personality be better than the audition. Like,
I loved it until he started. I don't know why.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, don't do that.
Like, seriously, though, like, you get in there and them sides be like, my sides are blank because my mind is blank. Like, I can't see none of the heat.
Oh, my God. Right. Oh, my God.
No. Okay. We're going to move right along.
Yeah.
Y'all, just stay encouraged in auditioning and shit. That's basically what this was about. Like, stay encouraged. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm new to this, too, because I just don't be doing it. Like, I just don't be doing it. So I'm forcing myself to show up. Each time, even though I'll be wanting to, like, go home.
Right.
I'll be wanting to go home and find another. Oh, it started raining out so heavy. Like, I'm going home.
Right.
I'm going home.
Oh, this is a
like,
sorry.
There's no way I'm going to be able to make it. I'm going to be soaking wet if I walk over there. Like,
right.
It's not, like, why? Okay, people always want to call me, like, I never get phone calls until I come and do this show.
Right.
Like, no,
you
Chris, seriously.
You should blow
every week my phone, my phone goes off.
Just to chime in, every Sunday you do get a FaceTime call. You do. I don't know, like, for some reason you always get a FaceTime call.
I don't
call
know yet. What that's about.
At this time, at that.
Like, every single week.
I'm so dead.
Yeah, so we gonna move right along. To the this is I said what I said.
Oh Lord,
Jesus. Y'all ready? Look, Kayla's like not.
I said,
she's like,
Jesus. Y'all, I just want
to listen.
I don't know.
Y'all already know not to wait on Tim for the answer. Y'all
Why?
Already know this. I just let y'all know this from the jump.
Why?
So y'all ain't surprised with me. Let's see what she
okay,
got.
But like, okay, so. Tim, like, why do you feel like you're not going to be able to?
I don't know. My mind don't be working like that. Like,
what do
you I might
mean?
Even know. Even the last time, I feel like I could have got that answer, but the shit just didn't click until you said the name. And I was like, oh, man, that was it.
That's what it. That is what it feels like sometimes.
No, but today's going to be different because you told me come in with a different idea.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be different. I'm actually going to get this. How about that?
Okay.
Let's see how long that goes, Chris.
His
let's,
water,
see how,
yeah.
let's see how that goes, Chris.
And now y'all make me want to change it because I want y'all to get it.
Yeah,
like,
so you could change it. Go ahead. You said you was going to well, change it.
Go,
Make that shit super relevant. Put the author's name in the actual monologue.
Right. If you could just slide it in there.
Y'all, I want to make it really easy for y'all. I really, really do. Why are you looking like that?
Is it because I just got hit with just a bunch of nerves? I said, all right, I'm ready. Come on, hit me with it.
We got this. We got
okay.
this.
Okay. So, let's see here. Ooh, this would be wrong of me to do that.
Don't do that. Whatever it is, don't do that. I actually been seeing a lot and reading a lot of plays recently, so I should be
I've been reading these bios on Tina, so.
Maybe I haven't. Let me back that up. I don't know. I think I should be okay. I'm just trying to talk myself into it.
Okay. Okay, here we go. One thing I don't need is any more apologies. I got sorry greeting me at my front door. You can keep yours. I don't know what to do with them. They don't open doors or bring the sun back. They don't make me happy or get a morning paper. Didn't nobody stop using my tears to wash cars because of sorry. I am simply tired of collecting. I didn't know I was so important to you. I'm going to have to throw some away. I can't get to the clothes in my closet for all the sorries. I'm going to tack a sign to my door. Leave a message by the phone. If you call to say sorry, call somebody else. I don't use them anymore. I let sorry. Didn't mean to. How could I know about that? And take a walk down a dark and musty street in Brooklyn. I'm going to do exactly what I want to. And I won't be sorry for none of it. Let a sorry soothe your soul. I'm going to soothe mine. You were always inconsistent, doing something and then being sorry. Beating my heart to death, talking about you sorry. Well, I will not call. I'm not going to be nice. I will raise my voice and scream and holler and break things and race the engine and tell all your secrets about yourself to your face. And I will list in every detail one of my wonderful lovers and their ways. I will play Oliver Lake loud and I won't be sorry for none of it. I loved you on purpose. I was open on purpose. I still crave vulnerability and close talk. And I'm not even sorry, but you being sorry. You carry all the guilt and grime away. All the guilt and grime you wanna. Just don't give it to me because I can't use another sorry. Next time, you should admit you're mean, low down, trifling, and no count straight out instead of being sorry all the time. Enjoy being yourself.
Love that. That's one of my favorites. Actually.
You got it.
Yes.
Okay. What is
girls.
It?
Yeah. Four color girls.
Itake Shange.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, how do you say that? Because you know I'm gonna mess it up.
I'm not saying it wrong.
Itake Shange.
You really did go basic with us because you know, goddamn, we was gonna get nothing else.
Because as soon as you started, I said,
"This nigga said, okay, four color girls, nigga, y'all can get that."
Thank you. I said, "Thank you. Thank you so much."
I should have read this monologue, but I switched it at the last minute, so I didn't read it right.
Read it. It was fine.
It was good. I was proud of myself. I know this one.
Okay.
Yeah. So
did it. There we go.
Y'all did do it.
Did it.
And then y'all also, you know, we're just going to go right into the hot topics. Ooh, hot topics. You want to sing us into the hot topics?
Hot topics.
There we go. That's it. You know, and Chris will judge it up and, you know, he'll give us a little. So now it's time for the boom. See how to go?
It just played.
Boom.
There it goes. We didn't hear shit.
But now, you know, it's magic.
Oh my God.
But the cast of For Color Girls at the Public Theater.
Right.
Jocelyn Bio, who is a playwright, but she's also an actress. So if you don't know about Jocelyn and her amazing talent, you'll get to see it. For Color Girls at the Public Theater. Also, Adrienne Moore from Orange is the New Black.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Have y'all ever heard this cast list? Y'all, cause y'all
I don't think I have, to be honest with you.
I didn't even know they had the cast list out. I just know they was doing it at the Public.
Yeah, so they're doing it at the Public. Begins performances October 8th. So they're coming up soon.
Jeez.
I didn't even know that.
With official opening October 22nd, and it's running through November 17th. The cast will include Jocelyn Bio, who wrote Schoolgirls of the African Mean Girls play as Lady in Blue.
Yeah.
Celia Chevalier as... what is this? As Lady in Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Danaya Esperanza as Mary Jane. She's been a Mary Jane. Danaya Esperanza as Lady in Orange. Jamie Lawson as Lady in Red. Adrienne Seymour as Lady in Yellow. Okawu Okpakwasili as Lady in Green. Alexandria Wallis as Lady in Purple. I know I butchered these names. I'm so sorry, but these are the people that will be in The Color Purple. The Color Purple. For Color Girls. What? Why are you? Because, okay, I got distracted.
As soon as you say you butchered these names, Chris is like,
Chris, see, this is how you do it behind my back.
Oh my God.
Chris, this is how you do me behind my back. Like,
oh, like my eyebrows raised when you said that because I might have to edit it. Oh.
Like, you know, but I mean, we still want to give people they just right, do. Like, right. I would just be, I'd rather try to say your name correctly right. and embarrass myself right, than to right. not acknowledge
not
who you are.
All. Right. Absolutely.
So, and you know, I do this every week. I embarrass myself every week. Like, saying something, not messing folks up a word or trying, you know what I'm saying? Like, fuck yeah. it. Like, here, shit, fuck right. it. It's here. But I cannot wait to see this show. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that too.
For Color Girls, it's an amazing piece. And so to have it be revived, we've been waiting on this for a long time. We thought we was going to get it on Broadway with like NDRV right. a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen. And so, but I'm glad it's happening now.
Yeah, that's so exciting.
So yeah, that's make sure you get your tickets to see that starting October 8th. What else been going on in the scene? Some more shit's been happening. A little bit of controversy. Like, this week has been, like, a little crazy on the controversy. Let me make sure I'm not tripping because I was just reading. Oh, that's what it was. In Times Square, there was that yep. motorcycle.
Oh, my God.
Was you there? Was you in Times Square?
No, honey. I went there, praise God. But I was getting messages from the whole waitress cast.
Oh, my gosh.
Stuff,
like, it was just ridiculous. Like, my phone was blown up. There was a motorcycle backfired in Times Square, but people thought it was an active shooter. And so everybody started running all over the place.
There
and
are
so,
videos.
I mean, it became really crazy. Yeah, like, people, the running. Entire country has PTSD.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and this is just, you know, a couple of days after the right. last mass shooting. Man. So people heard a motorcycle backfire, thought it was a gunshot. People started running like crazy everywhere all throughout Times Square. So I found out about it. A friend of mine posted this. My friend Brett Tubbs, who works at the Imperial Theater at Ain't Too Proud. Mm-hmm. He works in the coat room and, you know, concession or other areas in the theater. But he said, tonight at work in Times Square, the Imperial Theater, I accepted it was my time to die. I wow. sit in a locked bathroom, lights off, with 10 women and accepted I take the brunt of the spray of bullets. Feel pain unlike I've never known, not because crowds panic, but because I've accepted Americans care more about access to gratuitous weapons than human lives. I watched a woman revert to her primal survival instincts that almost shut me out of the bathroom and call me a fucking idiot for holding the door wow. open a little longer so more people could get in. After I locked the door and shut off the light, she apologized. I watched a little girl scream, cry into the arms of her friend, unable to handle what was almost the fruition of what so many American kids her age fear is going to happen at school. It shouldn't be like this. It doesn't have to be like this. It's a choice. The people making that choice need to suffer the consequences to understand. The only thoughts and prayers I'm sending up is that they do.
Oh my God.
You know, it wasn't an active shooter, but right. so many people did believe and functioned like it was. And yeah. so like, I just can't imagine to be running around That's Times Square, terrifying. Like trying to duck for cover or right. trying to, you know, make sure you get to a safe space and hiding yeah. in a cold
closet.
Did a
motorcycle like backfire once and then all this happened?
Well,
like,
yeah, just once.
That's
yeah.
nuts.
So apparently a motorcycle backfired and people thought it was gunfire, so everyone started running. He said at his theater, everyone started running back in and screaming. So it's like when people start running back into the theater, right. screaming, like you don't know what's going on there.
Right.
Like, even if you didn't hear, it's just like
you're still gonna, yeah.
you had people in full panic. He said everyone thought it was guns. He said he had just shut the coat room when everyone started screaming and running back in. Waited in the handicapped bathroom with the door locked and lights off for 5 minutes with 10 women until it calmed down and they heard people speaking normally. They had no idea what was happening but assumed it was all an active shooter just because mm-hmm. America.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you heard about it too, like yeah. a waitress and...
Yeah, because there were some people, they tried to run into like the stage door part of waitress. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. There were a bunch of people running around. They sent a couple of videos too, I think. That's so scary.
It is. It's crazy.
And you got these little kids crying and screaming and like you just like
That's so sad too.
Yeah. I just can't even imagine.
I mean, you cannot imagine that. That is crazy.
Right.
And that's sad. That's so sad.
That's so damn
that's
sad.
That's so sad that this is the world that we live in right now.
Right. Because it doesn't have to be.
Because folks know it's not that far-fetched, you know, that it could be, you know. Like
I mean, honestly, like, it really is not that far-fetched,
yeah.
especially not in New York. Like,
right.
when this is, you know what I'm saying, the most, like, overpopulated state, and mm-hmm. then you just got, like, a bunch of people in Times Square that you could easily, if you had a gun, just, like,
right.
get you going. Like,
and everybody's ooh. Talking, too, about getting metal detectors at the theaters, at shows. Like, mm-hmm. I think... Harry Potter has them, and like
I know they do. I think it's
necessary.
What? What's his name? Springsteen has them.
Maybe Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, I think he has them at his show.
But he's also like what? Like a celebrity. So like.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I still think we need him at the Broadway Theater because, I mean.
We sure do. One time during Waitress, this man came up to the front with his box and slid it on stage. And we all, because Sarah Bareilles was doing it at the time, and he slid it on stage. And we all said, and it was like during our bow. So we were all singing in front, clapping our hands. We said, oh, hell no, what you doing sliding boxes? You know what I'm saying? But it was just like he just wanted to give a gift with stuff in there that honestly was still creepy as it was. But like that was creepy. Like it's like, this is not a bouquet of flowers, my guy. Right. This is a box you're sliding on stage.
Like you need to open up the box before you present
something. But you just don't know. You don't know what can happen. Right. So it's like at any time, especially when you're on stage, just like open for the whole audience to do anything they wanted to. It's like okay, you know,
not me. Won't be me. I would have ran off so fast.
Yeah, it would have been a wrap.
Yeah, like ain't no way
throwing boxes on stage.
What,
no,
say,
I'm good.
Bomb? Is this a bomb? What is this, sir?
Yeah, so we gonna move along because
we got to.
So okay, speaking of Davy Diggs, you know mm-hmm. Davy from, okay, so I Ethan Hawke is doing a mini series. And David is playing, I think I'm reading this right. Like, I want to make sure I'm reading this right because it don't read right to me.
Let's go for it. Let's see what happens.
So, Davy Diggs is playing Frederick Douglass in a miniseries.
Oh, I did see that.
Okay. Get out of this mic laughing like this.
I saw I did read it right.
No comment.
Oh, man.
I am in tears, y'all.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I did see that my friend sent me a picture of their pictures back to back.
Oh.
I can't even control.
Let's just move on.
I can't even control it.
Oh my gosh.
I am confusion. Because I don't understand, like, so, I mean, I get, you know, everything is not Hamilton. Like, everything can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you are light skinned. Full fledged light skinned man. That's like me trying to play James Baldwin.
Right.
I love James Baldwin. We share a birthday.
Right.
Like, we're so closely connected, but right. I would never take a role to play James Baldwin.
Right.
Or even me, myself. That's like me playing Frederick Douglass. I would never take on,
right,
as a light-skinned man, the role of Frederick Douglass. And so that's, and like, it's produced by Ethan Hawke, like, which is a white man.
Yeah.
Of course.
This is for a miniseries called Good Lord Bird, written and executive produced by Tony nominee Ethan Hawke, who will co-star as John Brown, according to TV Line. Based on James McBride's best-selling novel, the 8-part series will chronicle the connection between abolitionist Brown and slave known as Onion. I had to make sure I had to pause to make sure I was
it's
reading
the
right.
And
I,
that took me.
And a slave known as Onion. The series will debut in February 2020.
Is it supposed to be a comedy?
I don't think
God, I
so.
Hope not,
I'm,
Jesus.
Like we just can't take no slave comedies.
I mean, we really can't.
I just won't do it. I am
gagged.
Like it's mind-boggling to me, but David is.
I mean, I love David. He's like such, like, he's been a great mentor for this program. He's like just a really like dope ass dude.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, we gotta stop it.
Facts are facts.
We gotta let dark skinned people play. Come on, let us in.
Let them in. Come on.
It's really hard out here.
Yeah, like,
and it's been hard out here for a long time. And colorism is a real ass thing, and it keeps.
Yeah.
It doesn't stop. So, yeah, facts are facts. That's kind of wild.
That is wild to me. Like, and I don't know how we continue to, like, it seems to me as though, like, a lot of times, and I've watched this happen where, and not saying this is David, but just saying actors in general, where they get to a certain place, they are, at one place, they're very pro-black, they're all about the people, and then it sort of becomes a fine line that they toe because of the politics of the industry and trying to navigate their way to a better place, you know, the next opportunity. And so there's always like this, I guess, depending on who you're working with or trying to work with and not wanting to say no because you want to work with these particular people. And it's like, where do we find the balance to say, hey, this is art that I want to create. I want to create art with you, but maybe this isn't the art that we should create together.
Yeah. Right.
And that's such an important conversation. That's a great conversation to like birth out of this. It's just like, because we face it, you know, like I face it. I'm nowhere near at like a David level or even like you're like I'm not there yet. But like the little different like choices I have to make as I go, I've noticed are getting, I don't even say more difficult, but more complicated. Because like, what does this choice mean in relation to this other thing I want to do? So like, in that case, you have to. That's when community and like staying like grounded with your peoples. Comes in, because that's real. Like, this is like constant sacrificing and trying to negotiate what your blackness is or what you like, what your politics are in relation to where you want to go or the type of life you're trying to live is real. I was gonna find a way to bring this back because I wanted to talk about it, but I felt the same way about Fairview, the show. Because I was thinking. I'm laughing because I had a lot of like strong feelings towards this show, and then I realized how big it was later. But like, just thinking about like how even in that show, I feel like that show focuses a lot on like, well, I think not even focuses a lot, is like for white people and like kind of like the education and like kind of the getting white people to understand something, like a really particular thing that the whole show like pushes towards white people understanding, and it kind of leaves black people kind of on the like purview watching white people start to understand this thing, which for me just felt so like rough. It was like, goddamn, I wish I was part of this experience and not like
an outsider.
Yeah, an outsider, like just hoping white people get it, you know, even down to like the, I don't want to ruin this, but the final call at the end,
right.
You know,
the altar call,
right? Which is just like, you know,
right? And then also people's tendency to like still not get up,
right?
And like the audacity to like still say, oh, well, this is just a show. I'm not gonna participate, or I'm not going to make space or make room.
And also just thinking like, what are black people? How are the black people in the room supposed to respond to even that? Like all of it just feels like so. It feels so, it's tense in a way that doesn't feel like useful, like the type of tense, you know? It's a tense in a way that feels like just hurtful.
Like you still feel invisible.
Yeah, it's like, goddamn. So I say all that to say, like, the choices we make as we move forward, because that won a Pulitzer, you know? So yeah, I'm just trying to figure that out for myself.
And I also have to, like, you know, I think these, I say this often, but I mean, I respect everyone in this industry and their craft and how they and how they navigate their process and how they, you know, navigate their work. I never want to bring down people in their accolades, but I also want to make sure that we remember how we're revering and acknowledging these institutions that have created these awards and how we are how these awards that were really not built for us, but you know, we're becoming included into how they make us feel about ourselves.
Yeah.
And how they validate us in some ways, but also making sure that we are not that we're aware that we are more than that. You know what I mean? That we're so much more than the acknowledgments and the accolades.
And more than like the sacrifices we make in order to gain these like awards. Like it takes a lot of, for black artists in particular, it takes a lot of sacrifice of a lot of us in order to just make it to the point where we're considered for this type of award, because a lot of them are not, are created as like antithetical to our work and what we do. So yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know why my brain is just like still just like venturing off into that thought, but what else happened this week? So Patty Mirren, you know Patty Mirren? She stars in Frozen.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. The one who plays Anna?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, she plays Anna. Mm-hmm. And so I guess there was a tweet about Asian Americans on stage and representation for them, and how Miss Saigon is like one of those stories that they're not really happy with the interpretation because of what the story's about. You know, Miss Saigon, like Asian Americans are like, so it says here, if there were 1,000 stories on stage and on screen about us, or even if there were just 12, we might forgive Miss Saigon. Mm. But there's like no real representation for Asian American people or Asian people on Broadway or in the theater scene.
Yeah. In terms of like lead roles and stuff.
And just roles in general. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a King and I, there's
but not many.
Miss Saigon. And, you know, they just had allegiance, but like, what shows can you say tell the Asian American story or Asian story, you know? And you have to really think hard about it too. Like there's not something that you can, and you know, we want to fight for those stories as well and that representation, you know?
Right.
So, but that tweet was sent out and then Patty Mirren tweeted and this was sort of a controversy for her this week where she said, or like, I don't know, see it as a gorgeously told story about two young humans that happen to be set in a specific time and place, basically invalidating this person's feelings about our Asian.
Oh God, Patty, what?
She ended up deleting the tweet.
Of course she did.
But like to even think to tweet that to begin with,
and that's the problem. I just like, I'm getting closer to this mic. I am so frustrated with Caucasians, white people, and like the audacity, or even just the ignorance, or like what is it that taught you that felt that like made you feel like you were invalidated? Right. Because last time I checked, you are validated in every situation that you're in.
Right.
So like, give people a chance to express how they feel. Like, you don't get to just come in and say things like that. You don't do that. You need to take a step back and think about it.
Yeah.
Like, think.
Yep.
Also, being her who has Aisha, who's her standby, mm-hmm. who is a black woman who has gone through so many racial issues since she started Frozen because she's a black person playing Anna. So if you can sit there and you can stand up for her, then why can't you do that for other races?
Right.
Like that, and for me, that just means that you aren't really standing up for the people that you claim that you're standing up for.
Yeah.
And the issue with the actual show that the original person had was that because they don't have so many like Asian identified like stories, mm-hmm. this one had to be good. That's what they're saying. Like, since it isn't good, we had to criticize it harder or something.
The tale is about a romance between an Asian American woman and an American man.
A white American.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And it's, from what I remember about Miss Saigon, I think it's about don't give me the line, because I don't remember what this show's about.
It's fine. Like, but the controversy is
that it's not good representation for Asian Americans.
Gotcha.
Like,
and that's also like, I think that also goes into what I was thinking, saying earlier, sort of. It's just like, it's just so fucked up, like trying to be a creative as a black person, because it's like, we don't even when some of us like get the chance to create the work, right? There's no room for our work to be, and I don't think this is necessarily the case for this, but like for our work to even be mediocre. You get me?
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
Like we don't have time for that shit. We don't have the time, the resources, whatever. There's a million, I'm pretty sure there's like so many white shows that are just not good.
That are trash.
That are absolute trash, right. But are getting played over and over, and it's everywhere, and it's getting the opportunity to just be seen, or even opportunity to grow, you know? But black shows don't. And even as black people, like when we see a show, if I see a show that like made it to a certain space and I don't think it's good, in my head, I'm just like, oh, fuck. Like, why?
Yeah, that's you know? What you think. You're like, damn. Right. I was really hoping.
Like, damn. God damn. But I would never say that outwardly because, like, we ain't got that many. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So, like, even like, my criticism of Fairview, I can have that criticism, but also know that a black woman wrote it, black people are casting in it, and it's like, we still want something. Like, go ahead. Yeah. You know, like, yeah. Do what you gotta do, you know? So it's, like, hard. I don't know. I feel like it's hard for us to create in a space where we don't even have the chance to flop or, like, to, be, like, make it onto a stage and not be perfect.
Yeah.
And also us not be able to, as black people, openly criticize it and fear that it might disappear forever. Right. And nobody else will get the chance.
Yeah.
And then, like, for, like, the people who are Asian and stuff, it's like they want better for it.
Right.
They want better for them, just like we all want better for us. Right. So, like, I mean, just allow them to be able to sit there and say, yes, I do not think that Miss Saigon was the best representation of us.
Right.
And even though it had a lot of us on stage, thank you, it was not the best representation. And they are not saying that they don't acknowledge that more Asians are coming onto the scene.
And also
and
when the show
like
came
that.
Out, I'm reading more on it now. Also when the show came out in 1989, they had a white actor playing one of the Asian American characters in like yellow face and like prosthetics and like things to make his eyes.
Okay, see, no. Yeah, like, that's what I'm talking about right
now. See, this is shit they talk about probably.
Oh,
like,
No.
Big up to them for
it
being
didn't happen
honest.
In the revival when it came back to Broadway, but still the representation of Asian American is not good. It's basically what they're saying, that it's dangerous for this type of when there's not a plethora of stories being told about their experience. This is dangerous to have. It's basically like having just a slave narrative out for the black folks.
Exactly.
Right.
Because the Vietnamese women in the show are prostitutes.
Right.
Right, because they're prostitutes.
Yeah. And what's being said is just like, well, you have representation, so you, like, representation matters. That's it. But, like, that's not it. It doesn't
that's
stop
not it.
There.
It
like,
doesn't
if
stop
you
there.
If you don't like how you're being represented, you should be able to say that. And, like,
and that's
that
the problem
mean...
with white privilege right there. And there's the problem with white privilege. Just like, you should be thankful. Okay, no one said I wasn't thankful. I'm just saying it needs to be better. That's all I'm saying. Just like, you want better for y'all.
Right.
But y'all, like, don't do that.
White
don't
people
do
can
that.
Trash how many shows? They ain't gonna stop making white shows. You trashed too many black shows and too many Asian shows. Like, well, that didn't work.
Patty, that was not okay. That was just like, never mind. I ain't gonna bring that up. Let me
honestly, let's just.
I was just gonna say that was just like that one time that Aisha put up that thing, and then there was the comment made, and Amber had to go in. Yeah, it was just like that. And like in that case, I was like, I love all of these people that are involved in this controversy right now. But at some point, you have to acknowledge your white privilege and you have to be able to say, I was wrong. And if you are not understanding that you were actually wrong for what you said, like, and if you still believe that what you said was correct, that's a problem. That's a problem. It's a problem.
People that don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, break that down for us.
Basically, y'all, we had happened.
You already went there. So.
Sorry, Torrance, because I love you so much, girl. But what happened was is that Aisha put up this whole status on Instagram about basically people coming for her as a race. And she was basically saying that she's celebrating her blackness and all the black people in the. She made a beautiful post. It was gorgeous. And there was an actress who decided to comment and basically say, so does this mean that I can be in Hamilton now? And she was a white actress. And saying, like,
are white people in Hamilton?
Exactly. That was the point. And so Amber had to school her real fast, real professionally and real kindly, by the way. I mean, props to Amber. She was so good at it. I was like, honestly, girl, you did the thing. Because, like, I might have just went off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And everybody saw her comment and was like, first of all, how dare you turn this situation and make it about you?
Right.
When we are sitting over here celebrating black people and black excellence and we're saying that there's room for us, do not make this about you. There are already white people in Hamilton because y'all asses got mad in the first place that it was a cast full of color and y'all all wanted to be a part of it. And since Lin-Manuel said that none of y'all white people can audition, everybody wanted to go off.
Right.
So, like,
there's so many
don't
white
do
people
that.
In Hamilton
don't,
now.
And so many white people in Hamilton now. So I'm like, you're welcome.
You got another show.
You know what I'm saying? But like,
and listen, all that light skin too. Ain't no darks over there.
No, and
that's
no
also,
darks.
Also, let's not go there. You know,
let's not go there because I have a problem with that
while,
as well. Because there are boards and panels and stuff that talks about mixed people and how they struggle in the business. And I say I understand that and I am with you and I get that. But also, we also have to acknowledge that a lot of dark skinned people are not in the room.
Right.
They're not in the room. They don't get hired a lot. They don't. And honestly, if you think about it, for most of these leads, the people that they hire are of lighter skin complexion when they are black.
Yeah.
And those are the people that they want on the screen.
Right.
You don't see mocha brown skin and under on stage a lot when it comes to being a lead actress or actor. So I'm like, you can't, like, we have to start to acknowledge these things and, like, change them. Hello? Like, come on.
We got to. Woo, it's like, I want to get my blood pressure up.
I'm already feeling it.
Okay,
because
my blood pressure just went up. I'm about to stand up.
Listen, I can't take it.
Overalls coming off.
This past week, Jesus Christ Superstar 50th Anniversary Tour was announced.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ain't no homegirl in this?
Kirsten.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, honey. Yeah. My sister says in there. Kirsten, shout out, baby.
Come on. Let me tell you something.
She could blow, honey.
She went to Ball State with us. She was in that production of Hairspray.
Yup. Playing Motor Mouth Mabel. Okay.
Yes. So my girl can sing. I love her.
She sings down.
So shout out to her. Shout out to the entire cast. Everybody that's been cast in the 50th anniversary of Jesus Christ Superstar. I'm happy for everybody, but I'm tired of seeing Jesus Christ Superstar. Like, if I have to say that one more time.
Hikey.
If I have to say that name one more time, like, I'm so tired.
It's been so many.
And we're about to have so many Little Shop of Horrors, too, right now.
Oh, my God. And so many Little Shop of Horrors. I can't.
I saw
that. How do you feel about that show?
Which one?
Little Shop of Horrors.
Like, in general?
Yeah.
It's a classic. I like it.
I like the music.
I don't like all of the music.
Not all of it.
Like, I could do without, like, I feel like it could really be chopped down. Like, I would rather just see Little Shop of Horrors Jr. You know what I mean? Like, just like the truncated version. Yeah, like, give me Little Shop of Horrors light. Like, you know, I enjoy singing with people of color.
Right.
And I always enjoy, you know, like the urchins, like
that's the point of seeing the show. I mean, that's actually the point of the show.
It's to see the urchins and, like, you know, get your life from them. But other than that, I'm not, like, neither here or there for it. Like,
that's kind of how I feel about it. I'm like,
yeah, I'm the same.
But I mean, you know, it should be cute. Like, I'm gonna go see it.
I mean, yeah, of course. And, like, maybe, you know, it's probably gonna be on point. Good job.
Yeah, of course. Like,
yeah, they're gonna kill it.
I'm not.
Is it Amber Riley about to be in one of them?
Yeah, she's in the one in LA.
Right?
Yeah, her in MJ.
I'll see that.
Oh, yeah, Rodriguez, yeah.
So that should be cute. And George Salazar.
And I did not know that Miss Rodriguez could sing like that. I looked her up. I didn't know that she sung. So
MJ sings down.
When I looked her up, I was like, oh, sing. Oh, yeah, my God,
MJ,
sing.
MJ be singing. Like,
I mean, yeah, seriously.
Go off, sis.
I was like, go off. All right.
Okay, well, we ain't going to keep y'all too long. I think that's all the hot topics we have time for this week. I mean, we always have time for more, but I just like saying that's all we have time for this week.
Come back next week for more.
For more. We'll have more for you. Serving up some time for the listener letters, y'all.
Oh, my God.
Chris is pushing buttons for his life back there.
Was he?
He's like, what do I do with this?
Oh, my God.
Y'all ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So this is from Jay. Jay says, hey, guys, I've been missing you all in my ears this summer, especially Amber. Because Amber be gone. She stayed booked and blessed. But he says, stay booked and blessed, though. I'm reaching out because in my acting program, my teacher keeps telling me to use my truthful voice and not my actor voice. Can you imagine what he looks like? Can you all help me decipher what this means? Finally, how do I respond when he tries to tell me the same thing again? Thanks for your help. Congrats so much on all of the work you all are doing. Jay. What would you say?
That's a tough one for me because I got told the same thing when I was in college. But
we went to a white school.
And also what I will say is...
Now, did you like the training at Ball State?
I actually loved the training
at
Ball State. I recommend it because they honestly taught me a lot.
Okay.
They taught me so much. But also you have to remember, like, I got into theater last minute. Honestly, it was a white teacher who taught me how to speak into my voice, like, and be okay with it. Emily Zucker.
Okay, so I didn't have her.
No, you didn't have her. But Didi also was awesome. She, like,
me and Didi were in school together.
Oh,
so,
were
like,
you?
Yeah,
Didi,
yeah.
Didi was the
Didi was a senior
incredible.
When I was like sophomore.
Yeah, Didi's,
so, like,
Didi's black.
Sophomore.
Clearly, Didi.
Yeah, yeah.
She black.
So like yeah, Didi, yeah, I know Didi is solid.
But she was
like,
the only black teacher at the time, and it was.
Oh, she was. So you didn't have Dwandra.
No, I didn't have Dwandra.
Oh,
she came back and directed a play, but I didn't have her.
And so was Harold still there?
Nope.
No, Harold Mortimer?
Nope.
Wendy Mortimer?
Wendy was there.
Okay.
For a little bit.
All these black names that you don't know. DeAndre, what is it?
Dwandra.
Dwandra.
Wait, no, Wendy wasn't there.
Wendy
black?
Wasn't there?
Wendy black?
No, Wendy white.
Wendy's white, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful, like.
Yeah,
was there. Wendy was there,
like,
a little bit. I didn't have her, though.
You didn't have her?
She was there. She left, like, my senior, pretty much after
Karen Kessler?
My freshman year. Karen is still there, honey.
Okay.
I love Karen. That's my girl right there.
Okay,
Karen, you don't want to mess with Karen.
She's crazy.
She's
but
crazy,
I love her.
Honey. She don't play no games.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you liked the program.
Yeah, I did like the program. For me, it was cool. And I also feel like when I got there, they were in the process of trying to make sure that black people had their time and that they were making,
scenes, you know, because... You know, I also have to, you know, own up to my part in why I didn't succeed in the program at Ball State.
Mm-hmm.
Because the program, it was cool at the time. It just wasn't, I was the only black male in the musical theater portion.
Mm-hmm.
But also I was, you know, adapting to trying to be in college. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, being in the musical theater program at Ball State, you can't be anything else but in the musical theater program at Ball State.
Yeah.
A lot of times. Like, mm-hmm. I was
no
trying
time.
To be black. Like,
you was trying to be black.
I was black.
Trying,
like,
to BSA and stuff.
I was at BSA. Yeah. I was at Trends of Essence.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was trying to be all
of
that.
You don't have no time for that.
Right?
I couldn't be a part of none of that. I was like, sorry.
Yeah, you can't do it.
I was, like, an a cappella group, and that was a struggle.
That was something I wasn't willing to sacrifice for my experience, you know, like, in the musical theater department. And so I think that took away from some of my training and me being able to really succeed in the program. So I wouldn't say that it was all, I didn't enjoy the program, but I wouldn't say it was all them either.
Right.
I also just didn't relate to the teaching style. Some of the requirements in the musical theater program just weren't for me. You know, like, I wasn't trying to play no piano. I wasn't trying to sight sing. Like, even though those are things you have to do, and I learned those things, but, like, I struggled through those things, and I think those things sort of deterred me in a way from putting my all, especially that freshman year, because after you that freshman year, if you don't get a hang on it right then and there, then
it's
a wrap for you.
Sophomore
slaughter is coming. They call it sophomore slaughter. They don't play no games.
It's a wrap. Like, your scholarship, everything will be
taken.
Yeah. Like, you won't even be in the program anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I got burnt out, so I ended up leaving, like, after the third year after the program. And just felt like I didn't feel like I received the training that I wanted. I wanted black focused training. I wanted to be black arts, black theater centered.
Yeah.
And that's always been my focus. And so trying to adapt to a, even though I love it, I love musical theater, trying to adapt to the standard, which is, you know, all encompassing for the white body. Just really wasn't what I was aiming to do.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
they didn't know how to receive that.
They didn't. I did have to have a couple conversations with some of the teachers, because some of the times in, like, acting class and things like that, they would be like, we would have a meeting and they would just be like, it just feels like you don't care. Like, you don't want them. And I'm just like, and why does it feel like that? Because I'm not the first person to raise my hand. I was like, we all have to realize, like, I'm learning.
Right.
Like, that's what I came here to do. I don't have to sit over here and try and kiss your ass in order for me to learn.
Right.
And I'm sure not about to be jumping down nobody's neck if I don't know the answer.
Right.
Okay. Like, I'm here to learn. That's what I'm here to do.
Right.
And so I think once they understood that, it was like, okay, straight sailing. But I did have a lot of times where they were like, you are not speaking in your voice. However, I was not speaking in my voice.
Right.
So the thing about that, like, the listener, who's Jay?
Jay.
The thing about that is that I do sometimes think that we do have to take a step back, because we are so quick to be like, I am speaking
voice.
In my
right.
voice.
You don't know
you
my
don't
voice.
You don't know my voice. And then
I know my voice. I had this voice for 25 years.
Okay, and we'd be talking like this. And they gave me a lead my sophomore year of college. And so I was the lead. It was called Baby.
Okay.
And I got out there and I was like, okay, you ready? And they was like, okay, let's go ahead and do this scene. And I start to sing and I said, Danny, stop. And they were like, Kayla, I need you to talk to your voice. And I said, huh? What'd you say? I'm not talking to my voice? Okay, one more time. Okay, sorry, sorry. Okay, Danny. And they'd be like, that's not it. And I was like, I am talking to my voice. No, this is my voice. Like, I don't understand. But it did take me a minute to be, and I do sometimes think that we are very uncomfortable.
With our voice.
Especially black people, because musical theater, where it started, was not started really with us.
Right.
Until we got to Showboat and things
so
like that. And
that
so
we
it's
have
like,
to conform
we
and
have
change.
To conform. Yeah. And we feel like acting is putting on an actual scene.
Right.
Which is why when you read with your parents and stuff, they'd be like, I went to the store. I'm coming back for you now.
They think that's
right.
how you're
you know, because they think that's
right.
and
right.
that and that's actually what we sound like when we're trying to audition mm-hmm. and stuff for things a lot of the times when we're young. So right. honestly, I would take a step back for a quick second or record yourself. You know what I'm saying? Record yourself with yourself doing that monologue or doing that scene and like listen to what you're actually
right.
doing.
Right.
Or take
right.
a video. Watch yourself, you know?
And if your teacher is telling you that you're not speaking in your truthful voice, you're probably not speaking.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, if anybody can identify that you have an actor's voice,
right.
yeah.
like, that's your acting voice. Like, I can tell when you're dropping
yeah.
into your,
right.
you know, I mean, sometimes when I'm reading something, like especially like cold read, mm-hmm. I drop
yes,
into a certain
you drop
voice.
Into a voice.
Because that's where you feel comfortable like,
right. exactly.
in navigating that space. Like,
yeah.
okay, I'm about to navigate this unknown territory, let me go someplace comfortable. And that's where,
exactly.
yeah. that's what happens.
Now, if they are saying you're not speaking in your voice as in they expect you to sound super sassy or something, then you
right.
say,
like,
hold
what do
up,
you mean?
Meet me in your office. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right, right,
that's
right.
when you say, we need to have a meeting.
Right.
But like,
if they're trying to say that you're not speaking like black enough
yeah.
or something like that, or you're not speaking urban, like, you know, what are they really trying to get at?
Exactly.
Right.
That's where you need to decipher, like, what's really going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, I'll say trust it. Like, it depends on what you think the teacher is, but I think that comes up very often, especially for, like, not just actors, but performers, because I started off like a spoken word artist, spoken word poet, and there was a trend, especially during, like, my teenage years, like, around 2008, 2009, there was, like, a poetry cadence, mm-hmm. and it still lives.
Yeah.
But, like, the way a person would say their poem, so you'll be talking to a nigga, like, regular, and then they go on their poet, in their poet voice, and they're, like, putting emphasis on shit that just
right.
seems strange. Like,
right.
what are you, what?
It'd be like, monthly pro unlimited,
like,
plan purchase,
right.
right now.
Right. And nigga start clapping, and it's like, what? So, like, but that happens so naturally because when you think of, when your mind kind of orients around what performance means,
yeah.
right. you automatically think it means a certain tone, a certain whatever. But
right,
actually,
Deaf Poetry Jam. Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't go on Deaf Poetry Jam.
I'm not going on Deaf Poetry Jam. No.
Listen, y'all, just respect it.
They be sending people off.
Yeah, respect it as like an artifact of history. Do not start talking like them niggas today. I'm telling you, I will flame you.
Knock, knock.
Oh my god.
No, now Drew just played it. Now he played poets, y'all.
Up.
Now
he's
he played
up.
That. That's a wrap. I'm not for that.
He's acting up.
Now he trying to play us, y'all. But no, but for real, like, I think you should trust it, because, like, even in my class today, my teacher, one of the main criticisms he was giving to a lot of my, like, with the peers was that, like, they'll go up, they'll, like, be talking to the teacher about, like, oh, what the notes are, and then they'll start performing and sound completely different. And it's like, you don't have to do that. Like, it's actually okay, but it's hard to train yourself out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, Jay, directly to you, is a part of your work, is to find out how you can be yourself while you're performing and while you're trying to portray someone else. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. We're going to move right on to the next question. This comes from Marshall. Marshall said, hey, Off Book fam, what are your keys to finding the perfect cuts that are the best songs that showcase you? I had a director tell me that picking the right material for auditions is like finding the right pair of glasses. Those glasses allow the people behind the table to see you clearly. And when that material isn't a good fit, it's like a pair of sunglasses. They can still see you, but it's harder to really see. So how are y'all picking the right material stories to tell? Also, your boy is auditioning for colleges this year and doing a TED Talk at the same time. So how are y'all keeping yourself centered and open to auditioning and managing those calendars? Because, Effie, I'm tired.
Oh, that's real.
Ooh,
so would the first question, I mean, because he got a lot of questions in here.
Right, that's a few.
First question is, what are your keys?
No shade.
What are your keys to finding the perfect cuts for songs, for best material?
I can't
do
that. I don't
see. I would say choose something you like. I mean, I'm a person who, because I was raised in church and growing up singing, I only sing songs that mean stuff to me. Like, and I really think that, that is like the main key. Like, I don't think that you have to find songs where you have to like belt to the highest, to the highest vicinity, or
because
to
they'll
the
vocalize
rafters,
you if they really
because
want
they
to.
Will because they will vocalize you if they want to hear what you have, and they really will do that in the room.
Right, but let's see how far you can go.
Yeah, exactly. I think your main purpose, honestly, is to just is to really find material that like you actually connect to in terms of the words. Because the hardest part is you can sing a song and sound beautiful, but if you ain't got no meaning behind what you're singing, they gonna immediately tell that you have no connection, and they gonna be
know
like,
you
goodbye.
In your singer's voice.
Okay, they gonna know. They're gonna know.
Your singer's voice.
I would say that, but I would
say truthful voice.
Yeah, and make sure that you have, like, in terms of audition cuts, make sure that you have a little bit of everything, like something contemporary, something rock, which is basically contemporary for black people, honestly, anyway. Right. You could say you could take anything soulful and make it rock. We're a black person, so hello, we created rock, hello.
Right.
So like, but make sure you have a little bit of everything
in
your book.
Rock,
pop rock, yeah, a little classical. Make sure you got a little something, everything in your book, but make sure the words actually mean something to you, because that's your best bet. Anything. If the words mean something, you straight.
And know them cuts like the back of your hand.
Okay, because when they ask for them, when you get that book,
you
and
be
you
able to just
don't
go.
Have nothing in your book that you don't know, because they will ask.
Right.
They will ask for that one song that you didn't really know like that, okay? Hello, getting loud because it happens.
Listen, for
and
real.
You say, I'm taking this shit out of my book today. I ain't never doing
never
this
again.
Never again.
Never again. Never again, Maggie. You're never calling me again, Tara Rubin. Also, he says here, so...
Time
oh, you ain't want to answer that?
I ain't got nothing for you. I ain't singing. For you. I ain't singing.
Yeah. You can sing a little bit.
No. I ain't got nothing for you. I feel like you should listen to the train of singer that just gave you great advice. There you go.
Also, you don't only have to sing musical theater, just to be clear.
Right.
Just to be clear, there are a lot of people singing a bunch of pop cuts all the time. So do not just pick musical theater. Listen,
they be trying to choose something different like people haven't heard before.
Listen to a variety of music. Listen to a variety of music. If you one of those musical theater people that only listen to musical theater, you got another thing coming in this world. You better figure it out and listen
to
a bunch of music.
They're not building these shows around musical theater no
not
more.
No more.
Around movies.
Okay,
shit.
Hello.
And the movies come with soundtracks. And them soundtracks come with...
He said, tell her what the fuck it comes with.
And the movies come with soundtracks.
Like your uncle, Liz.
And
you
them
don't
soundtracks
know about this game. What the soundtrack
shit.
Come with?
Listen, a lifetime of lessons.
Right.
That's good.
Have you lived, son?
Keep living. Marshall also says, so how are y'all keeping yourself centered and opening to auditioning and open to auditioning? Well, I mean, you ain't got to audition because you booked.
Oh, I audition all the time, y'all.
It's auditioning while I do other shit, right? What's the rest of this question?
Yeah, how are you keeping yourself centered and open to auditioning and managing those calendars?
Oh, right.
Honey, my calendar is not managed. I'm going to tell you that. I was just saying today, I was like, dang, I be forgetting I say yes to certain things. And then it come around the corner and I be like, God, I'll be there.
I do.
Yeah, what's crazy is that I write it down on my calendar. I just don't look.
Oh, well, since you got to do both.
You got to follow up, sis.
I be like, I ain't got nothing to do today, y'all. I get a text like, where you at? I'm like, what you talking about? I said,
That is terrifying to me. Like, where you at? It's like, what the fuck you mean where I'm at? I'm at where I'm supposed to be, right?
Right.
You know, I hate that.
See, this is why I stopped saying yes to shit. So I ain't got to be nowhere.
I know.
I write everything down. But as far as, like, being open to auditioning, like I said, and Drew shared, like, well, you say, like, you're new to, like, going back out auditioning. Mm-hmm. I'm new to the shit, but what I've been trying to, like, focus on recently is, like, what is my, first of all, what's my larger picture goal, right? So, like, if I'm auditioning for, say, like, this play or whatever, like, yes, I want this play, but why do I want it? I want it because do I want to, like, become stronger in my acting as I'm doing this play, and I love, and is that,
what's your why?
Is that my goal, or is it because this story of this play means so much to me, and for the grand scheme of my career, I want this to be a part of what I've done.
Right.
So I think putting together the why you're doing it will help you as far as, like, motivation, because that's, like, a big thing, and as far as, like, prioritizing. So, like, if you have a million things to do, you have to prioritize, like, okay, which one feeds the larger pool of what I want to do with myself?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah, if you have a 9-to-5, that feeds the larger pool because you have to, like, survive right now. So, like, prioritize that in the way you have to. But, like, for me, and my boss don't listen to this, but, like, if I have like a play audition, my 9 to 5, they have to figure it out. You feel me? Like, right. I'm gonna have to like, I'll like do it. Even I'll do like work early in the morning, and then like late at night I had to. But like, I know where my destination, what I'm trying to go towards is. It is not working at this particular position. Right. So I think always keep for yourself what is like, what is the larger goal of yourself, which mm-hmm. is like actually not easy to find out. It takes a lot of
time. Takes some time.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time.
Some trial and error. Yeah.
Right.
And also in these rooms, you can, I mean, you really can't. I was just telling a girl this today. I think like your ultimate goal when you are an actor and playwright and things like that is, besides your own personal goal of getting to where you need to be, is also to be an open sponge.
Right. Yeah.
Like at all times. Like you can learn anything at all times. From just watching the people who are auditioning at the same time that you audition, and watching them and what they're wearing and what how they walk into the room.
Learn so much.
Like what kind of song, you know what I'm saying? Like you learn so much from just watching these people. And the people who end up booking the shows, and when you don't, and when you don't book that lead or you don't book that ensemble role, you're like, okay, now let me think about what just actually happened. But I really do think that all of these different auditions are like, they're super cool because you learn so much, regardless if you want to go or not.
Right.
They're like, they're actually pretty dope to like learn from and people watch.
Right. Yeah. Learning, that's real. Like even the last audition I was in, it was like, we was right outside the room, so you could hear the people doing their audition inside. And this is an audition where I was like, I literally crammed to get it done like 2 o'clock in the morning, learning all these sides because I had other shows I couldn't focus on. So I'm like nervous in there. I'm like, oh, bitch, I shouldn't even showed up. I'm like, these words aren't going to come out. Like they came out this morning, but they ain't going to come out in this room. But what was nice was when I was sitting there and I was listening to the choices the other people were making, I was like, wow, I don't particularly love that choice. And I actually really love the choice
that I made.
Yeah, right. I decided. I was like, and that started making me feel like,
better.
Oh, wait, I could be here.
Yeah,
it's fine.
Gosh, that same thing happened to me too.
Right. And it like saved me for that moment because I was so scared. But I was listening. I was like, what? And not even to play them, but I was like, I'm really not interested in that choice. And
so did you book it?
I don't know yet. We'll find out. I don't know. But who knows, jeez.
I'm thinking about
Marsha,
this damn thing.
Marsha, it's actually not even worth it. Fuck it. Just give up.
Say that.
But yeah, I loved your advice as far as like just showing up and allowing yourself to be open and learn and just realizing that this shit is just about being vulnerable.
It is. And they take that. I'm telling you, I promise you, to be honest, like besides like my own talent, one of the main things that I get when I'm in the room with people, which is why I've booked these Broadway shows, is thank you for like actually being open to take that note. And I'm always like, great. Thanks. I'm so happy that you think I'm open because I'm trying. I really am trying. I really do. I'm always like, I'm just trying to learn, y'all. That's really what it is.
Real.
When you come in with the mindset of like, I'm really just trying to learn. Like, I'm really just trying to learn from whoever and whatever and like, you know, whichever, so I can like be better like at all times.
That's the best you can do.
It really keeps you ready.
It keeps you ready.
So
it
you does. Don't like go crazy because these auditions will make you crazy
because as an artist, this is all you got is everything inside your body, your body itself. So like if you're learning all the time, the tool you have and the shit that you're trying to like sell is just getting better, so you just have to keep doing that.
Ooh, child. Well, that's our time, y'all. We got it all in. We thank y'all so much for tuning into a brand new episode of Off Book presented to you by Broadway Black. I'm Drew Shay.
I'm Timothy Dwight.
I'm Kayla Davion,
and we out, y'all. Till next time, deuces.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.